Did somebody say weeaboots? Cause I think I just heard someone say weeaboots.
Welcome to Weeaboots, the anime review podcast from Gigaboots.com. I'm your host, Anime Danime, and with me, as always, is Bob from Gigaboots.com.
Hey, everybody.
KZ Excellent from KZExcellent.com.
The Z in my name stands for Zeon.
You're going to get sued. And Mr. Feel from Mr. Feel's Wild Ride.
You can call me Feelson for this podcast.
I'm surprised you could get that out through the pocky you're presumably chomping down on.
Let me tell him. Patreon.
Oh, no, it's not real. You know, KZ, it's bold of you to put Space Nazi in the middle of your online handle, but maybe don't.
You know, yeah, I should rebrand.
Leave it to the braver YouTubers. Now then, we're here to talk about The Boy and the Beast, which is a movie anime. They make those. Made by Mamoru.
I do love me some Japanimation.
directed by Mamoru Hosoda. This in Japan was called, and you know what? Maybe Bob should handle this. Bob, can you give us a rundown of the Japanese name and who made this?
I didn't even look at it.
Oh, you didn't?
Bakemono no Ko.
And for those who don't know, that's basically saying the boy and the beasts, as in like demons, because a certain type of creature or demon or horrors in Japan are called bakemono. Anyway, this is before Bob goes into who made this, I'm real quick going to give a plot summary. Basically, this takes place in somewhat contemporary Japan. A lost boy on the streets ends up wandering into the world of the bakemono, or as they call them, the city jutengai, and is adopted by some sort of bear monster called Kumatetsu.
Yeah.
And his name, because he won't tell the bear monster his name is now Nine-ta, or as it is translated, Cuta. So that's a rough summary. You get to see this bear raise this child.
I get it now.
Yes. Yeah, so I figured I'd spell
Did
that
you
one out.
The part where he tries to change his name to 17, ya?
Yes.
Now that we've got that unimportant thing, the plot, out of the way, Bob, can you tell us who made this other than Mamoru Hosoda? Like, for example, Bob, can you tell me who did the original story?
Also, Mamoru Hosoda.
Okay, who did the script?
Mamoru Hosoda as well.
Oh, okay. Well,
But we have an animation production studio, Studio Shizu, who, no, this is just everything Mamoru Hosoda's done. Okay, they've only been doing it for the last few, so Wolf Children, this, and Mirai.
Okay, so they didn't do Summer Wars.
No.
Which, yeah, I guess we should talk about the other films this director has made. Yeah, as we just mentioned, Summer Wars, Wolf Children, Mirai, which Mirai came out, this year in America or last year?
One of the two.
Last year. Okay.
It went up for an Oscar I was looking at.
Oh.
Here.
Oh, neat. Very neat.
Yeah, some recent. Yeah, it should be that. You're forgetting his most important film.
Oh?
The Girl Who Wrecked Time.
The 2000 classic Digimon the Movie.
Or that.
Okay. Yeah, and then that's the one that he made a second time for Summer Wars.
Look. It needed to be separated from the Digimon timeline so we could just make a good movie.
Bob, Digimon the movie is a classic.
Welcome to Weeaboots, where we piss off Digimon fans.
Look, we had to watch Digimon Try on this show.
We shouldn't. They're crazy. They'll knife you.
God, yeah, Digimon Try.
Don't fuck with them. They do art for us sometimes.
Feel free to go listen to our episode on Digimon Try. It's a few years old. But, you know.
I don't think anybody actually likes Digimon Try. Not even Digimon fan.
I hope not.
I hope not.
That thing is miserable.
Yeah, that thing's trash.
Yeah, anytime a Digimon fan talks about Try, they just get angry.
They usually have a bottle
in hand.
Yeah,
they just start to melt.
I'm glad, because that was so bad, I couldn't believe it. I was like, maybe I didn't ever enjoy this.
They made six of those things, Bob. hold on, are you okay?
No, I thought there was like two.
No, there were six.
I think we watched three.
How the fuck you call it Digimon Try and then make six?
Because, you know, there was Adventure 2, which was still in that same continuity, and then Try takes place after that. So, Try 3, even though, from my understanding, they use almost no elements from the second one, and it's just...
Correct.
Gen 1-ing as hard as possible.
Absolutely. It was Gen 1-ing so hard, you wouldn't be surprised if a Charizard walked in, because you'd just go, Gen 1-ers, am I right?
Yeah, Digimon's going through that, but also... I feel like Pokemon still does stuff I like.
And there we go. We shot down every Digimon fan in the street with no sense of mercy.
Hey, it's an anime show. We need to have a good comment section. That's what I'm doing here.
Oh God, they're doing a direct sequel to Try next year. It's called Digimon Adventure Last Evolution Kizuna.
They're doing, and they say it's the final adventure for the main character of the first series and his Digimon Agumon.
Great.
The fucking final adventure for the shit you've been milking.
Yeah.
Very excited.
Hey, they just literally kill him.
It's the Logan of the Digimon franchise, Dan.
Kizuna has brain damage.
I'm gonna shit my
pants. He's now in his 50s. He can't deal with it anymore.
Agumon's like, we need to get to Canada. It is the only way.
So did you like this Digimon movie we watched for this podcast?
Oh, KZ, I it was a jape. I fooled you into watching that Digimon movie. We're actually here to review The Boy and the Beast.
Ah, damn it. At least Digimon the movie had All Star by Smash Mouth in it.
It's still pretty close to a Digimon movie, let's be real.
There is an alternate world that's filled with furries.
Yes. Who picked this anime to watch again?
I did, because I hadn't seen it yet. I was like, well, there's not... I should selfishly push for a movie I haven't seen and wanted to see anyway for the first episode of this, because it's not like we're in the middle of an anime season.
Right.
I've never seen anything from...
Really?
Yeah, except Digimon the movie, apparently, which I learned a few minutes ago was his thing.
Now... KZ, you have, because he was a key animator on the first Broly movie and Broly's Second Coming.
Oh my god. But yeah, have you seen The Girl Who Leapt Through Time, KZ? That's
no.
Awesome. Okay.
The Girl Who Leapt Through Time is a very great movie. Summer Wars is also exceptionally good.
Like, I think those are his two most famous for sure.
But we are here to talk about The Boy and the Beast. As I explained in the intro... A kid loses his mother. She dies, and the father apparently just is a deadbeat, got divorced, and wasn't around. So when his mother's closest family go to adopt him, he just runs out and decides to be homeless. And one day while lying on the street, Kumatetsu sees him and jokes about him being his apprentice. And then he follows Kumatetsu to Jutengai and becomes an apprentice, which means... dealing with Kumatetsu's bullshit 24/7.
It's got some good, like, kung fu movie energy going on.
It really does.
It feels like some early Jackie Chan.
Yeah, it does feel like that.
It's like structured the exact same way, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So we've watched a lot of things for content this past year.
Mm-hmm.
Various different things. Like, we started with real movies, and then we started going to movie-shaped things with current content and stuff. When I turned on this movie, when you said, hey, we're going to do this on this day, and I booted it up, I watched the dubbed version, and as the opening, like, fire sequence started, I went, this is real movie.
Yeah, that was
like,
my
reaction. Like, I started getting really pumped. I was like, this looks great.
Oh, wait, things are, I'm feeling joy? Oh.
Yeah,
there's not like asterisks filling my head of qualifiers I have to use to describe this movie because I don't need those.
Yeah, no, it's the man makes fucking films. He makes movies. Hosoda does really great work, and I recommend all of his movies for people to watch.
He makes the magic.
One of I enjoy a lot of the storytelling in this. I may not necessarily enjoy the second half of it, which we'll get into later. I do enjoy him finally convincing Kumatats to train him and stop being such a shitty teacher. I do enjoy the journey they go on to learn what true strength means and the sense of world development you get out of that. You know, it's a very rich world that they develop with a lot of lore. I do enjoy all those aspects, but I'm going to note my to get one of the things I dislike the most out of the way. CGI crowds that look like garbage.
I noticed it once, like in the very first the first fight that he has against the other other potential lord.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I went, "Ooh, that's all right. Well, I'm glad I noticed this now. Let's never look at the background again."
Okay, I was like, how's he not see it?
That's a good system.
I only noticed it real strongly when they were doing the Kyuta going through their legs, and I thought it was supposed to look like that because it looked very like what's the word?
Yeah, I know, like, what you're
very,
talking.
There was a sense of unease to it. I feel like surreal.
Mm-hmm.
And then I guess I just never looked close enough at the backgrounds during those scenes.
I'm like, I shouldn't be looking at that. I need to look at the much better looking choreographed fighting that is in the foreground.
I mean, I did look very hard at the city backgrounds, which looked unreal.
Yeah, those looked really great. Even had, it was a city replete with everything you would ever need, like Starbucks with the U covered by the separation in a window, and Burger King, which they didn't even bother to cover any of the letters on.
Okay, that was one of the best parts of the movie, just Burger King.
It shows up twice.
I wish I had an OLED I could have watched this on.
it looked really good.
It's a great-looking film. Really nice, except for the crowds.
Yeah, those crowds are hilarious.
They give off a real DDR character energy, where they just sort of shift back and forth on each foot, and they might as well be T-posing because it looks that low rent and idle.
Yeah, I like that every single one of them, like the same head animation of left and right.
Mm-hmm.
It's.
I need to go back and rewatch this just for those parts.
Once you see it, you can't unsee it.
I was about to use them as reaction images on Twitter, honestly. I was like, I need to come back and export these as GIFs. This is important.
Mm-hmm. There's one part of the animation that I actually really liked is anytime they, I guess, went to the other part of the house, and it's, instead of a door, it's just those beads.
Mm-hmm.
Like that curtain. I just like the effect of how that was animated when they're, like, you know, on top of it.
Yeah, no, I think that was well done, the 3D.
Yeah.
This. Some of the 3D in this, like the opening with the fire blade and stuff, it's very cool, and well done.
Yeah, most of the 3D in this didn't really bother me.
Anything that isn't trying to be a real thing, like a real human or a real beast-like thing.
Mm-hmm. So, as the movie goes on, it basically talks about, you know, he's Kumatetsu's apprentice, and as they keep training him, Kumatetsu is getting... He's refining his style more because he now has to consider how he attacks Kyuta in a more deliberate manner, so that way he stops getting dodged by Kyuta, and he becomes a better contender for becoming the heir to being the lord of Jutengai.
Yeah, because this, like, almost the first thing that happens is he gets his ass whipped real hard.
By Yozin, which is some sort of boar samurai, because all of these lords in training or apprentices carry sheathed blades on them that are tied shut with the fabric on the hilt. So everyone's kind of samurai cool in this universe.
Very samurai
cool. Very samurai cool.
And then samurai mixed with whatever animal you want. You got all.
We got them all. You like bears? We got that. Actually, you know what? They didn't have a monkey samurai. They did have a monkey.
Yeah, they had a monkey, and he is predominant enough
stuck.
To be...
Yeah, but
I don't know. He's still pretty cool.
I mean, he's okay, but he was
we have men that are also pig.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah, that the monk. What was the monk's name? I'm trying to remember what the monk's name was. Was it Hyakushubo? Was that the monk?
Yes, pretty sure.
Because he's just like, here's a dude with a pig's nose, and I'm like, ugh.
Yeah, he was great.
Yeah, I don't know. It's weird because I think it works for his character. Like, him being a pig, like, visually matched him being completely bald-headed and the sort of archetype he's going for as a monk.
Yeah, it worked. It worked. It was just a little bit weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, it took a while to get used to, but after a few scenes, I was like, okay, this is what they're
but
going with.
I feel
with.
Like there were a mm-hmm. bunch, there were a bunch of background characters who were, like, human with dot nose.
Human with cow ears. Yeah, there's a lot of that. This movie does seem like furry bait. Just a bit.
Yeah, like
what you mean the part where Kumatet gets into a fight and he's like, "Let me take my shirt off immediately."
Yes.
Yeah.
And the part
let
where
me get really big.
He's got an 8-pack and then he gets huge. Yeah, I mean that part.
And the other one turns into like half a giant boar. It's like, okay, yeah,
this is the movie. It's a really good film, but there are just moments like that where you're like, okay, I guess that's what you're about. I have to respect that so I can keep watching this.
And after this is right after Wolf Children too.
Oh God, I didn't even think about
that,
Wolf Children.
There was King Cosma in Summer Wars, so like he clearly there's a theme here.
Right.
Or confession. But so I think we're going to start getting into the spoilers part with this, you know, just talking about like where the story goes and how it develops and how each of us like that.
Yeah, I think that anything after the halfway point or so, we should probably consider spoilers.
I think so, because the halfway point is when it really goes, okay, you thought the movie was going to be this arc, but now it's changing. But
yeah,
overall,
I was a little bit surprised by how much of a change it was.
It caught me completely by surprise. I did not expect it to go in that direction at all.
I'm going
to
go ahead and say out front, normally we save our recommendations for the end, but I'm going to go ahead and say out front, this is a really solid film. It's not like the best movie I've ever seen, but Hosoda always makes great looking films. So I recommend this. Just don't look at the crowd. Bob, how do you feel about The Boy and the Beast?
Yeah, I'd also give it a recommendation. I also have my misgivings with the second half of the film. Like, I really like the first half a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not so much the second half, but it's still a good movie. If I were to have to rate this on like a 10 scale, I'd probably give it an 8 or so.
Right. Same here. It's kind of like that moment in the Astral Chain spoiler cast where you said it's Platinum's worst game. It's a 7. It's like that. It's Mamoru Hosoda's maybe worst film. It's an 8.
Right. It's like his standard is higher than Platinum.
Yes.
Yes.
But that's a great way to piss off a lot of people and start gang wars, Bob, so please don't say that.
I mean, yeah, like, his other movies are really good, like Summer Wars, Girls Trapped Through Time, and Wolf Children are all excellent. Like,
what was that one,
plus.
Casey, I heard you say one that Bob forgot.
Haven't seen the Digimon movie. It's probably fine. It's probably fine.
It is two OVAs he did smash together for the Western audience.
Great.
I'd love to watch those OVAs.
It's pretty raw.
But yeah, 8 out of 10 sounds about right. But yeah, I'd recommend it. But of course, I have my problems with the second half, which we're going to get into spoilers. But hey, Mr. Feel, before we get into spoilers, just overall, how do you feel about this film?
I really liked it. This is the first, because I've seen other movies of his a long time ago, but like, this is the first anime movie I've watched in a while where I was like, yeah, that's good. Not good by anime standards. I mean, it was a real movie.
Yeah, that's why I like him as a director. Like, it's just really good cinema in the way that it's hard to even find in theaters nowadays.
Yeah, I mean, it's like so many anime films are just based on whatever shonen show, and those aren't you can't go in expecting that to be a good movie.
He actually did a One Piece movie, and it's the most interesting one apparently.
Great. My I'll have you know, anytime someone references an episodic anime turned into a movie, I always think worst case scenario. So I'm like, is this like the Naruto one where they fly?
There was no VA.
I just, my brain goes, is this the One Piece film where they fly?
You know,
it's the One Piece film where everybody dies.
Yeah. Okay, I may be interested in
question. is this the One Piece film where they got Avril Lavigne to do a Nickelback song?
Holy
no,
fuck, no.
That is
God,
what?
Oh,
Avril wow. Lavigne did a cover of This Is How You Remind Me for a One Piece movie because the author of One Piece is a big Avril Lavigne fan.
Half the credits was that, and the other half of the credits was Skater Boy. But no, that was Film Z.
Enjoy this information.
Yeah, I was actually, before we recorded this, I was suggesting we start out for bringing back the series by going to doing Bleach Movie 3.
What movie 3?
And The Taster.
I'm so glad we did something real.
Right? No, that would have been hilarious, but terrible.
What about the one where Ichigo goes to hell?
I think that's number 3. If I remember right, it's the only good one.
Wow. Okay. Well, feel anything else to say before I
But I recommend this. I feel like that got lost.
Oh, yeah. We did get off base a little bit.
So that's 3 recommendations so far. KZ, do you want to say how you feel about this?
I did not know what to expect from this film at all, and I was really pleasantly surprised at how well done everything was. I also have some issues with the back half, but I feel like I don't feel as strongly in the negative way about it. So if I was rating, I'd give it like an 8.5, a definite recommendation. One of the best films I've seen this year.
You're welcome.
Thank you, actually. I had a great time watching Kumatetsu chase this child around his house. Every time they did it, I'm like, yeah, keep doing it.
Yeah, it's really charming.
Keep running in circles.
You know what my, like, the moment I clapped the most in this movie was?
Yeah.
Not like, I clap what I thought, but like the moment I pointed at the screen and went, ah! That's good. So Kumatetsu takes Kyuta as his apprentice, and they're arguing the very first time they eat together. They're arguing, and one of them, I forget which one, spits yellow rice and egg all over the table.
Yeah.
And then he runs off, and Kumatetsu goes to follow him and gets in the fight with Aizen.
Yeah. Aizen, yeah.
When they come back, all the little bits of rice are still where they were.
Yeah. It's a great attention to detail that makes it feel real and lived in. Like, I feel like a lot of the animation goes a long way towards that. Like that segment KZ was talking about where they do the wide shot of the house and they keep running in and out of the house in a circle. And then they cut to the inside for the same camera angle twice as they just yell shit at each other and then get back into the running habit. It's really good.
They keep doing it every time. I'm like, yes, keep doing it.
It's really charming.
Really good.
One day he'll figure out to go the opposite direction.
It turns out, no.
No.
So getting into the spoilers a bit, as the movie progresses, Kyuta grows up. He turns 17, and one day he just sort of stumbles his way back out of Jutengai, and he starts re-exploring the human world. And as he does, his first thought is, I'm going to try to read a book. Oh, no, I'm illiterate.
Which, yeah, that was actually
He's
really
like,
good.
He's like, this isn't Goosebumps.
Yeah. He was like, this is a bit too highbrow for me. Moby Dick. But yeah, that was a really good moment.
The Moby Dick thread is like the thing that I think makes me groan the most.
Me too. In fact, I said that to Bob last night. The Moby Dick imagery and the constant references to it are exhausting. I don't think they're great, but I do think the literacy angle of him re-exploring the human world is really, like, I appreciate it as storytelling, and I think it ties into the themes of the movie of being properly raised and what it means to be a father and how certain people can't teach you everything, that sort of thing. So I think the literacy angle's neat from that, but oh my god, fuck the Moby Dick shit.
Right, like that's totally separate from the literacy thing, I think.
Yes, it is.
By the end, I'm like, wow, they keep coming back to it. Holy
there was
shit,
literally the
they
part
really
where,
keep coming back to it.
What is that girl's name?
Who are the real monsters? The giant whale.
The Moby Dick.
Ahab.
Kaede. When he meets Kaede and she's like, here's the meaning behind Moby Dick that will be relevant in the later half of this film.
I know.
Yeah.
Yes.
Before we go too deep into the
whale is a reflection of himself.
Yeah.
Almost,
oh my god. Yeah, it's a little too blunt.
I fucking love whales.
I fucking love whales.
Is this symbolism?
That's how it felt.
Can you help me understand this word, Kaede? I don't know what symbolism is.
That's the word for deep.
It means aesthetic.
Oh, this is just turning into David Cage.
But what were you going to say, Mom?
Earlier in the movie, before we do the time jump and stuff,
sure.
I thought it was really interesting that they send him on like this journey across the land to learn from all the other lords of this world.
Yeah.
And they introduce that concept. It's like, oh, that's going to be like this movie. And then that ends up being like 5 minutes.
Yeah, it's just a bit.
Yeah, I'm like, this is a neat way to do that. I didn't expect it.
Yeah, I didn't expect it to be the entire rest of the film the first time I watched it, but I did expect it to be longer than 10 minutes.
Right.
I feel like it was even less than that.
It might have been.
Yeah, like I said, I think it was 5 minutes.
It was a really delightful segment, and as I mentioned before, I really enjoyed how much it built out the world, because you then see those people at the commemoration of the new heir. You know, you see them at that ceremony.
Right.
Sitting next to the Lord, which is a rabbit. Speaking of which, that rabbit's fucking great.
Yeah, he's probably the best character in this.
I want to become decisive.
Yeah, I want to become the god of decisiveness. And then later in the film, well after he's made that decision, he's like, oh, if only I decided on that sooner. I'm just like,
that
I'm
is
dying.
The best long bit.
Yes. It is really good. Also, he has the ability to appear anywhere at any time. But when that sword goes flying into the fucking seats, it lands next to him and you see him melt. He's just like that terrified.
Oh, fuck, I didn't sign up for this.
It's really good. Bob, we're talking about good, positive things, but now we're talking about the second half. Is there anything you want to talk about that...
Oh, was good and positive in the
good
second
and positive
half?
Before I get into humans?
I'm trying to think. I feel like there's a lot of delightful moments in the training montages.
Yeah.
Yeah, like you get to see how bad Kumatetsu is at being a teacher.
And a human?
Well, yeah, that too is part of it. But I think it's really neat to be like, okay, he can't do this at all. Like, he's just yelling at the kid to do something over and over again.
Just grip it.
Just grip it.
Like,
and then
yeah, I like when he's trying to describe how to swing a sword with sound effects.
Yeah, yeah. It goes whoosh and a bang. Yeah.
But I don't know what that means.
You need to use different words. No, I really like the dynamic between not only Kumatetsu and Kyuta, but also, you know, between the monk and the monkey as well. Like, all four of them worked really well off of each other.
Right, and I feel like even after the time skip, when those characters are still really good.
Yes.
Like, and this is, like, super spoiler, super end of the movie stuff, but, like, Kyuta kind of acknowledging that those two were kind of his dad role model, too, was like, okay, yeah, this is good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, and that he understands and appreciates them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a really good moment, too. So let's talk about Riku.
talk about what?
Sorry, you were going to say something, KZ? I could push off talking about Riku. What were you going to talk about?
Oh, okay. I was going to point out it was the monkey, right, who isn't the non-monk one. I really appreciated how he was generally like, don't do this. You should just quit, bow out. And then by the end, he's like the most sentimental one.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you expect that, but I still really liked it. I liked seeing his character, like, change and grow a lot.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, it's nice to have even, you know, not the smallest, but smaller characters have an arc.
Yeah, Soda's really good at that. Like, Summer Wars is, like, 10 characters, and they're all like that, and it's really good.
Yeah, it is.
I need to watch Summer Wars again.
Yeah, me too. So let's talk about Riku and the arc that is darkness resides inside of humanity.
So you wanted to talk about this film deciding to have a villain when it didn't need one?
Yes, I assume you're ready to talk about Kingdom Hearts.
I was going to say, wait, are you talking about Kingdom Hearts?
Before we talk about that aspect, I'd like to talk about that character more.
Sure.
Because I kind of got misdirected by him.
Oh, yeah, really?
Because you see him as a kid, and I'm like, oh, well, he just looks like a fucking human.
Yeah.
Is he a human?
Yeah.
And then you see him the first couple times you see him as an adult. He has the hood, like, over his mouth.
Yeah.
And I was really expecting the bit to be he has big tusks like his brother now and is insecure about them.
Hmm. Okay.
And then he was just a human.
Yeah, no.
And then you get the scene where he's like, why don't I have them?
Yeah, the part where his whole darkness comes from the fact that he doesn't look like his dad, who he admires. And that drives him, because he holds his dad in such a high regard, that drives him to kill or try to kill Kumatets.
And become Moby Dick.
And become Moby Dick is, it's an arc. I feel like it wasn't landed here. That character is woefully underdeveloped.
Yeah, like, when he's a kid, it feels, or he's the one who's trying to be a really nice guy, and, like, his brother beats up Kuta.
Yeah.
And he stops him, and he's always the more just one, and then after they do his time skip, that's just all gone. Like, it's a role reversal thing, but it doesn't feel, like, earned until at the very end where they get
it. They could have established it with, like, a couple scenes.
Yeah.
Yeah. They really could have.
But they don't. Like, I think it would have only taken, like, one or two scenes.
I feel like this movie, kind of like Eosin is negligent to his daughters, his sons, this movie's negligent to Eosin's entire family.
Yeah.
It just checks into every, like...
I feel like this would have been a better movie if it was just the two families here, Eosin and Kyuta's family, and not dealing with all the human world stuff. Though there is some good stuff there, too. But.
Yeah, there's really good stuff there is the problem. Maybe if we could cut down the fucking Moby Dick.
A lot of the human stuff I like a lot.
If you were, like, to trim some of the fat of the human world stuff, I don't necessarily think you needed the scene where they get blown off by the guy saying, oh, you want to apply for college. I don't know. It costs a lot of money, and the test is hard. I don't think they necessarily needed that.
They did need it, though, because that makes him go find his dad.
I mean, it's two layers. Yeah. It's two layers, because that specific scene with that character blowing him off is speaking to how society doesn't try to help lift up underprivileged people, and how people who have a rough start aren't exactly helped by others most of the time.
I also feel like just the way that guy talked reminded me of whoever was going to adopt him. And how that guy at the start of the movie, that guy was just like, why the fuck are you sad about your mom? I said I'm taking care of you.
Yeah. Yeah, there is like, that sort of tone.
Like, it felt the same tone.
Yeah.
And that leads into him like...
I like that they're never brought up again.
Good, fuck them.
He did really well ghost them by disappearing for 9 years.
Good on
him. And then and I think that like leads into him lashing out at his 12-year-old father.
Yeah, I was going to talk about how unbelievably young his dad looks, also voiced by Chuck Huber.
Yes. I think he did an excellent performance. Unfortunately, I did not watch the Japanese dub this time. I think I may have the first, but I'm not sure. The performances in this are really good. I can't think of any of them that stood out as being stilted or terrible, which is interesting because usually you can find one. Usually in a U.S. dub.
When a Hosoda film comes over, they get out the big money.
Yeah, that's why Colin Klinkenbeard is in here.
Monica Rial did a great job.
Yes, she did. They got really good talent.
As Chico. Thing that makes noises.
Yes. So good.
His little animal thing that didn't age kind of freaked me out.
Fair.
Yeah, I thought there was going to be something to that.
Like a payoff where it becomes big and Chad-like, or...
Although it does become a little bit bigger, and I do think the implication is that it's, like, the very small baby form of a Bakemono, maybe?
Maybe.
It's his darkness.
No, his darkness is the window at that shoe store.
Right, yeah, that shoe store is really evil.
Yeah. I do
it
like...
It stayed open. It's weird.
I do like the metaphor there of, like, when he thinks back to how upset he was and how much he hated people there. Like, when he sees that area, it reminds him of the darkness inside, and that's what causes him to have a psychotic episode. Like, that's interesting. I like some of the stuff, but... Just like the Yozin family tree and how it maybe isn't giving enough time to fully develop, I kind of feel like a lot of the human world stuff in this movie is the same. There's just not enough time to develop a lot of it, and there's too much time to maybe develop some of it.
Yeah, I was like, I really thought the Kaede stuff, some of it was really interesting. Like, her relationship with her parents is entirely different from the other guys.
Yes.
Like, that was a nice dynamic of, oh yeah, they just, we hardly interact. I'm estranged from them, basically, even though we live in the same house. I'm like, yeah, that's a really common thing, too, and it's a neat thing to tackle.
It's a different type of negligence.
Mm-hmm.
It's a different type of parental issue. And then, like, one of the lines she says specifically that I think speaks to a deeper problem with that sort of systemic issue is that she doesn't even know herself because they don't let her express herself. So how could she possibly know who she is? Like, she says that at one point. She says very subtly in a line that they don't know me and I don't either.
Right. Yeah.
And I think that's a really interesting issue to touch on. And then instead of developing that more in maybe a little bit more interesting ways, we involve Moby Dick.
Yes.
The only part of the movie that really makes me roll my eyes is when Son, whose name is really long,
yeah,
really, really long, Ichirohiko.
Yeah, Ichirohiko.
Picks up the Moby Dick book.
Yes, no.
And then makes a whale.
He goes,
I was like,
a whale, thank you.
I remember the part where Kaede explained that it's a reflection. Thank you. I understand. Thank you.
I was telling Bob.
Just went, oh, fuck. Are they? Oh, God.
This movie's the end somehow.
Please.
Moby Dick will end it himself.
Yeah, I told Bob I was thinking back on all the media I'd consumed over the years and how that never went well once. The villain picking
up... What, Moby Dick?
No, a villain picking up a thing and goes, oh, they're afraid of blank, huh? And then taking the form of that has always gone terrible.
The only time it was good is Ghostbusters because it was a joke.
I mean,
yeah,
you're not wrong.
I also think the way, like, a lot of this is, you know, it's symbolic.
Yes.
But then the way Kyuta wants to fix the problem makes no sense to me in, like, the symbolism front, where he's going to absorb the whale and then kill himself.
I don't think that really tracks with the rest of it. It doesn't track with the metaphors of the rest of it, but it does track if you just see Ichirohiko as somehow also part of the darkness that is what eats at Kyuta, and it's really dumb. Yeah, I don't think it's handling it well.
I feel like this would have been a stronger movie if they had not done the Ichirohiko stuff at all.
Yeah,
and had just had Kyuta go crazy, and then, you know, Kumatetsu fills the void in him to fix the problem.
I feel like if Ichirohiko was still involved, but he was consistent from a young age to an older age, and then didn't become Moby Dick, but some other problem arose, we could keep Ichirohiko that way. And then it wouldn't just feel like a really weird tangent where, God, yeah, so many different elements of how the end of the movie goes with Ichiro is depressing.
I also started wondering if they actually read, like, human language in the other world?
Oh, yeah, because Ichirohiko just picks up the book and he goes, oh, it's a whale. I'll become a whale. And it's like, wait, you can read Japanese? You were born...
Yeah,
like,
I think...
When you went to the Jutengai.
Presumably, they just know how... They just learn how to read, but Kumatetsu is a fucking illiterate, so he didn't teach Kyuta how to read.
That's the only other option. That's kind of sad.
That's airtight. It's airtight, though. He's like, fuck, read.
Like, who are Kyuta's role models? An illiterate monkey, an illiterate bear, and the monk probably knew how to read, but I guess he never got asked.
Yeah, he never had time. Too busy learning what true strength means. Apparently doesn't mean literacy. But
I have issues with the whole final battle and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But then I'm like, ah, it's okay. He said he became the sword in his soul, and that's really Kino. I liked that a lot.
Yeah, it is. It is really.
That's
touching.
Where I started metaphorically clapping. I'm like, oh, that's great. I like that a lot.
I like how we can't escape Kingdom Hearts at all.
KZ says metaphorical clapping. Well, he was really just crying. He doesn't want to say it.
KZ's just sitting there wearing the Riku, like, weird... what was it? The Shadow Riku, where it looks like a muscle suit?
Oh, yeah, the muscle suit.
KZ's yes. just wearing the muscle suit and clapping while standing on his bed.
Oh! Yosha!
Yeah, no, I really like the idea of Jutengai being where for all intents and purposes, Kyuta's being raised, right? And the part where he says he has to leave that place to learn things that Kumatetsu could not teach him is also speaking to the theme of this movie. I like stuff like that, but Ghost Mom is a tangent of this movie that I'm just like, what are you supposed to be, mother?
I forgot
Ghost Mom almost entirely.
See?
Yeah, no, it's a weird thing. It happens like 3 or 4 times, and I'm like, what theme are you? What?
I can respect most of those times when she's actually talking to him near the end. That's super weird. But I really liked their use of it early on, because he still can't grasp it. His mom is gone. Like, so he keeps thinking that she'll just be there when he turns around.
See, it's foreshadowing, Bob. You see, because Ghost Mom told him, "Would you like an omelet?" And the next morning, he wakes up to eat raw eggs. That's foreshadowing.
Oh yeah, that part. Yeah, I remember that part. I remember like him having flashbacks. I just don't remember like. I only remember that one.
I thought you were gonna say it's foreshadowing because you see her ghost turned into a copy of Moby Dick.
Oh my god. That's the only way this film and its like treatment of its own themes could get even more convoluted.
Like, the only way it's worse is it's that she did an audiobook for one, or she's a marine biologist.
Oh man, if she was a marine biologist, I would fucking lose it. That would just be a whole pile of stuff.
This is my armchair Debs trying to make this schlocky.
He's trying to turn it into a Jerry Bruckheimer film.
Raw.
I'm gonna go ahead and say one of my favorite parts of the film is the off-screen beating that Kyuta does to those bullies.
Yes,
because you see
when he
it,
got hit. I was yeah. like, oh no, is he gonna get? Oh no,
no, no, he is not. And what he is doing to those bullies off-screen is so intense, and you can see that in the faces of the other bullies. Like, it's so good.
Yeah. The two girls are like, oh, fuck this shit.
They're like, haha, what are you going to do? Oh, fuck shit.
What are you going to do? Stab me, said by man about to be stabbed.
Yeah, I was really worried for a second there. They were going to go, oh, yeah, no, everything in the other world was fake.
I was worried about that, too. I thought he was going to get his ass beat. They're going to be like, everything in the other world was fake. It's not real.
I was so worried because I did that. Then going back to the real world gave me flashbacks of that Full Metal Alchemist movie.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh God. Oh God, please don't be that.
Not again.
Not again, man.
No, Kyuta starts getting beaten up, and then he goes, a bang and a whoosh! A bang and a whoosh! And they're like, oh no.
Sound effects!
We can't beat him up. He's clearly mentally challenged, and that's how Kyuta wins the fight. Everything else he imagined. They're like, we were okay with beating him up when we thought he was just a dork and illiterate. Something that really got me here with the credits at the beginning of the film, and I spent the whole film, I don't know, it just got in my head. The film opens and it's like music by normal sounding person and Mr. Children. So every time a new song cut in, I was like, I wonder if this was made by Mr. Children.
That's a weird ass name.
Yes. It is.
One thing that bugged me during the ending is like, oh yeah, then Kyuta never went back to Jutengai. He's just done. Like, he abandoned fighting and also never even went to see his other dads again. It was a little weird.
He goes into the other world past Moby Dick event.
Yes, but then it,
yeah, but after that, the narration
yeah
goes in and says he never came back after this. He reconnected with his real dad and did all that stuff.
He learned how to kick ass, and he never came back.
He has the best sword of them all, but he never used a sword again.
The movie just fucking swinging for the fence. He has the best sword of all, a dad's love.
You know what? I mean,
that's all more or less what it went.
Yes. I know, but it would have been better if they said it.
Yeah, they just spelled it out.
He has a sword. He has a sword. His English dub voice was Eric Vale, who is future Trunks from Dragon Ball Z. It's all connecting.
Correct.
There's a lot of Dragon Ball characters in this. It upset me a little bit.
Yeah, I think Funimation.
Yeah, it's Funimation.
Yeah, okay.
The Funimation handled this. I don't know. I didn't look at the... Oh, that's right. It had an ad for Funimation's service. I forgot about that. Funimation now.
Because the monkey is Ian Sinclair, who is Ian Sinclair, who is Whis.
Kumatetsu was John Swayze, who does Crocodile in One Piece and was Hohenheim in the Full Metal Alchemist stuff.
He's also Gendo in the Rebuild of Evangelion.
Oh, interesting.
Cool.
But yeah.
So he played a good dad and the worst one in history.
Good job. Good job. You did it, John. But yeah, overall, I really like the themes the movie's talking about. I think they're interesting. I maybe don't love the way where he's like, I'm being consumed by the darkness and I need to avoid this. And then he accidentally looks down at his friend bracelet. And he's like, oh, right. I got a girlfriend. Now I'm not being eaten up on the inside. Like, I maybe don't love that clumsy delivery.
Coochie.
Right? Like, I told Bob, I was like, there are much less cynical ways to phrase this, but I'm just going to be brutal about this. Maybe not the best theme in the world of, I'm being eaten from the inside by my darkness. I'm full of anger and rage. No, wait, I can get my dick wet. I'm good. And then
the darkness rushed to his head.
And then he can stave that off until his dad respects him. That's the theme of the movie. Maybe there's some elements of the film that maybe don't deliver on the theme in a way that's cogent, consistent, good. But I still like a lot of the themes it's dealing with. Just, you know, if you could scrub every reference to Moby Dick from this film, it would be half a point higher.
Look, Dan, they put Moby Dick in the very first shot of the film, so they had to bring it back.
Did they have to, though? Like,
they felt like they did.
Moby Dick. Is it like a Japanese thing where it's like, Moby Dick is a famous novel from the West, so we have to give it way more respect than it kind of deserves?
Yeah, that's kind of, I mean, that sort of thing also happens over here when you're taught, you know, books at a certain age or what is a good story, and you're taught one specific story, then a bunch of people are like, oh, yeah, that story's great. And I don't want to swing at any specific ones because I don't want to read the comments for weeks being like, Catcher in the Rye is great, Dan. Fuck you, or anything like that.
Catcher in the Rye is great. I love shooting John Lennon.
Ooh, I'm a big fan of shooting John Lennon.
I like Goosebumps.
Yeah, I think it's that same thing, but also you add that extra veil that is, this is what is considered great Western literature. So yeah, it definitely is one of those things. Like some Japanese person read Moby Dick and they're like, it's all right. And then like the translator's like, what if I told you the whale represented something? And then they just had their mind blown.
Moby Dick is like a Sega CD.
No, I don't really have a super
God.
I don't really strongly remember Moby Dick, but I don't remember it making a very big impact on me.
I mean, I haven't read the entire story. It clearly did not have a big impact on me, but maybe if I went back and read it now, I would. I doubt it, but...
Stay tuned for our Moby Dick spoiler cast.
It feels like it's in the same vein as, like, the Scarlet Letter, where they force you to read that, and I'm like, that's bad.
Yeah, no, that so much of that high school / middle school assigned reading was just bad.
Which is why when they assign things like Ender's Game, I'm like, okay.
It's on the list, it's good.
It's on the list, it's good, yeah. Uh-huh.
I look at our list of content coming up, and I'm like, not everything's good.
Don't worry, it's all good.
the content we have to cover, that could be put into question, though.
I don't know what you're talking about. Moby Dick's a great book, and we're covering it on the spoiler cast.
I like Goosebumps.
Is there an anime adaptation of Goosebumps or Moby Dick?
It's okay, KZ. You can just go buy the Cliff Notes, like everyone.
You know, there's like the anime version of like Anne of Green Gables and shit, so maybe there is an anime Moby Dick.
I mean, there's an anime Starship Troopers.
Excuse me.
Yes, there is.
Yeah, it's based on the original novel. Not the reboot.
Oh my
thing
god!
That was done by the RoboCop guy.
Hakuge, Legend of Moby Dick. It's a 26 episode show.
Okay, well,
oh my god.
Please tune into the next episode of Weeboots about Moby Dick the anime, which takes place in space.
Don't actually wait for that.
It's actually an isekai.
No, it's from 1997, it's from 1997, so it's a little bit too old.
Isekai is eternal.
I had somebody tell me Escaflowne was an isekai once. I almost had a fucking aneurysm.
It technically is. I mean, if you... The basis of the series
like, no, this is my fucking haven. How dare you?
Bob, attack him.
Is the girl from modern-day Japan goes to magical, mystical land.
That sounds like another world!
Yes!
That sounds like an isekai!
Just because the genre gets bad stuff doesn't mean that it didn't start good. Inuyasha, another isekai.
Feels like I didn't come here for logic. I came here to punch down.
Fine.
Heck, I think even that Hail Zeon guy, it's his favorite, one of his favorite animes, and he admits it's an isekai.
Oh, he does?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Well, maybe we should do a Weeb Boots on Escaflowne.
I really want to see that show, but
if we ever do that.
No, you can't do that, because if he's not here for that, he's going to stab you in the fucking throat.
Oh well.
Oh well, Dan, we'll just have to podcast with a shiv in his trachea.
Ah, damn it. Fucking thank you, Pod Lords, for ensuring that we could pay the hospital bill.
Thank you, Pod Lords.
Damn.
The theme song for Weeaboots is Android by Luckhash. You can find a link in the description to buy it over on Bandcamp. The spooky executive producers for the month of pre-October are Vincent Pover, Nicholas Cameron, E. Lee Broyles, Star Falcon, Spaceman Spiff, Danny Richardson, Dryzart, Shadow in the Darkness, Red Blaze 27, and Third Birth DeWen. Thank you very much to our pumpkin spiced executive producers. And also these guys. If you like this video and want to support us, then head on over to our prematurely haunted Patreon at patreon.com/gigboots and become an executive producer today.